Hello everybody, I am Lucia Matuonto and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast, a talk show where my guests and I talk about relatable everyday situations, books, and the environment we live in. Remember to subscribe and follow the podcast on social media so you can be notified when a new episode is available. Let's begin. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Relatable Voice. On today's episode, we are headed to Los Angeles to speak to Esther Thea Blanche. Originally from South Africa, Esther is an actress and was on ABC's All My Children. So beautiful, Esther. How are you doing today?
Hi, Lucia. I'm doing really wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on your show. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, of course. Me too. So, Esther, you've been living in the US for over 20 years now.
Yes. I cannot even believe it.
And where exactly in South Africa are you from?
I am from Rustenburg. It's a small little town. Originally, it wasn't even on the map. And then I grew up there, and half of the time I also grew up on a farm, on a game farm. So I was very fortunate growing up with animals and, you know, being just growing up in the country and surrounded by animals and milking cows and raising wild animals. And then later we did move to a bigger city, Pretoria. And then after school, I moved to Johannesburg, which is the big city where I was on a TV show there. And then I moved to Los Angeles, to America.
Wow. And I've never been to South Africa, but I have always wanted to go.
It's a beautiful country. I think it's one of the most beautiful countries in the world. And I think anybody should definitely try to visit it at least once in their life.
Yeah, I agree with you. And South Africa is on my bucket list.
Oh, good. Yes, you should go for sure. Mm-hmm. And try and get the safari in and see all the wild animals. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Must be beautiful.
It really is beautiful.
And Esther, how did you first get into acting?
You know, it was always something I wanted to do, even as a little girl growing up on the farm. I was always acting around the animals. We would have a lot of little animals where the mother would say the mom passed away. And like we had two warthogs, the mom passed away and they were babies and I had to bottle feed them. And then as you're little and you're feeding these little pigs, wild boars, pigs, you come up with stories and you tell them stories like, well, I did. And you entertain them because it takes hours to feed and give them milk when they're wild. Like you got to sit there and get them to drink the milk. Sometimes it takes 3-4 hours. So you sit there and then you start to talk to them and then you start to tell them stories. And then next thing I'm like acting things for them. And then there was an ostrich and there was a monkey. Mm. So each animal had their own characters and I was acting out stories for all the animals. So I guess I became an actress for all the wild animals to entertain them, to drink the milk. And one of the goats broke its leg And I had to sit every day and bandage up the leg. And also that took a lot of time. And I would tell stories to the animals and just entertain the animals. And, you know, this is the first time I'm actually thinking about it, but I think that's in my head, it became so real to me that my stories became so real that I thought, well, maybe I really can do that. Like, why don't I just be that? Why don't I just become an actress? And then I had a few horses and I loved horseback riding, and I would run through the fields. And I remember as I was running on the horse's back, that's when it would like get into my head, I want to be in the movies. Like, I want to go to Hollywood. Like, I really want to act. I want to be an actress. And then in school, I started to do plays. And I did one play when I was, I think, 10 or 9, the Lapop. And I loved it. I just had a small part. One of my best friends she had the lead role. She was the doll, she was a ballerina. I just had a small role, but I loved it. And then I started to host some TV shows just as a host. But then my real acting part came when I was about 18. And that was on the first daytime show ever in South Africa. Wow. Yes, and that was a big thing. That was a big thing in the country. So yeah, that was my first like breakthrough thing.
Your story is so amazing. And spending time with animals, it brought to you something really good, and you started acting.
You know, it's so interesting, but just now that I'm talking, I'm getting goosebumps now. So that's always to me a sign from like the angels from the heavens, like it's truth. But I just now made the connection that I think my acting was a gift from the animals.
I thought the same.
Because I always think animals are amazing, and I love animals, and I think they're just really a gift from God. But I, now that I'm talking to you as I'm saying this, I think they brought me the gift. Like they really brought me the gift. They I just realized that speaking to you now. Wonderful. Because I was so trying to help them and entertain, like telling them stories and you know, doing whatever it would take to get them better. Like one time we had a vet come over. We had a big huge deer. It's called an eland, and the vet came over to put him down. He said, there's nothing we can do, you know, he's very sick, there's nothing we can do anymore, we have to put him down. And my dad and the vet walked out to the eland. It's like a buck, a deer. And I was 10 and I ran after them and I cried and I said, please, daddy, you're going to kill him anyway. So he's going to die anyway. So why don't you just give me the chance? Since he's going to die anyway, let me just let him die in my arms, please. But in my head, I knew I'm not going to let him die, but I'm not going to tell them that because they won't believe a little kid. And I said to the doctor, what does he need? And he said, well, he would need shots and injections twice a day. You know, you can't do it. Like, and I said, well, just show me. Like, I know I'm just 10, but just show me. And so he gave it to me, and I did it. I gave it shots twice a day, every day. it healed. It was 100%. We took it back to the city with us. We loaded it on a truck. We took it back so I could take care of it. It healed 100% and it survived. It made it. It pulled through.
No.
Yes, it was even in the newspaper.
Really? I'm almost crying.
It was a beautiful story, actually. The deer is on my dad's Facebook, his profile picture. He's drinking from a saucer, like a tea. Yeah, so he survived it.
I believe in miracles. Do you believe in miracles?
Oh my goodness, I'm getting goosebumps again. I totally believe in miracles. Yes, I do. Absolutely. I do believe in it.
And Esther, acting seems to be a tough job considering the audition process. So how do you deal with negative criticism or feedback?
You know, it is a very tough part of the acting world, definitely. I think people don't realize how difficult it is. And it's really hard on actors. And I actually had to just get out of it for a while. Like I just had to completely get out of that whole scene and just get out of it to kind of find my balance and not get too sucked up in that life. So I do have a very deep understanding for what actors go through. I have a very deep empathy and sympathy, and I can just say, I don't know. For everybody, it's different. But I think what's really important is to have just really strong, good people in your life, like family, like a partner in your life, like core people, like your close friends, like a husband, a wife, a partner, or somebody like your go-to person who's going to support you, who's going to have your back 100% all the time and love and accept you no matter what. And for me, it's my family. It's my dad was my mom. She passed away, but my brothers, my godmother. Yeah, your people.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And Esther, you had a recurring role on the famous soap opera All My Children as Gillian Andrews.
Yes.
Such a famous show. Oh. So what was the best part of that experience?
Oh, there were so many really great aspects of that whole experience. Well, I got to wear really nice clothes. I got to have a really great storyline. Consistently, they were constantly writing amazing story for me. They would always change storylines for me and write really great stuff for me and funny stuff and heartbreaking stuff. And my character kind of started out this one way, and then she just evolved into so many much more. Like she was a very like very sexy and very sexual kind of a person, kind of using that. And then she kind of grew a heart and became funny and serious, and you know, the story was just, I was constantly so surprised and happy by what the writers were doing. Mm-hmm. So I was really blessed by what I was given on the show.
And It's amazing how different industries have adapted during this pandemic. How has COVID and the pandemic affected your career?
It is unbelievable what has happened, what transpired and what happened. But I think from all the tremendous sadness and heartbreak and, you know, loss of lives, some beautiful things also happened. People just made things happen. They just like jumped in and they said, well, we're not going to give up. We're not going to stop. We're just going to keep going. And that shows such, the human spirit is so strong and so beautiful. And it's like a whole new era, a digital era evolved, and we stepped into that. And I'm so proud of what happened. And I see a very big future for that. In fact, I see that as the new, almost like the new age we are going into. You know, like the ice age. Now yeah. We're going into this age, into like a digital age. In a way, like when one door closes, something else opens. So I feel like COVID closed something, but then something else opened. Because I always think that there is always blessings in everything, even in tragedy, always. We just have to change our perspective and look for it. And it's going to be there. Even in the greatest of tragedy, there is always something to be grateful for if we can just shift our perspective.
Yes, you're so spiritual.
Yeah, I am. I mean, look at what you're doing. It's amazing what you're doing. See, you're one of those people. You just stepped in, stepped up, and you did it. I'm really so proud of you.
Thank you.
I really am. It's amazing.
Thank you, Esther. Your words mean a lot to me. Really.
No, but you're one of the people that are changing the world. Like I'm getting really goosebumps, but like you are one of those people, you can actually, from where you are, change the world. Like locally, you can globally reach out. And this is also what I think is happening now. We can locally now be in a position to globally reach out and touch everywhere globally. For the first time in our lives, we have that opportunity. We've never had that. What a miracle is that?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
There is a miracle in that.
And Esther, you've accomplished a lot already. I'm curious to know, what are your next goals?
At the moment, I am currently working on setting up a foundation, a cancer foundation in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. in association with South Africa. That's already been established. And what makes it different is that we're working with very well-known actors and musicians to help support that and to help people who have cancer to get them the funds necessary to get the treatment that they need. And it's really close to my heart, because my mom passed away from brain cancer. So when she had it, I just really felt that I want to do, if there's something I want to do, it wants, I would love to make a difference in cancer. And, you know, it was funny. She was given 3 weeks when she got diagnosed. And I went to South Africa and she ended up living for 4 months. And they couldn't believe it. They were like, no, it's impossible. Yeah, I ended up calling the doctor, the oncologist that she saw. And I said, don't you ever dare tell anybody you only have 3 weeks because my mom is still alive. And he said, no, I don't believe you. It's impossible. I said, no, she is. He said, it's humanly impossible for her brain. She had 6 tumors. It's not possible. And I said, okay, don't just call this place. This is where she's at and speak to them. My mom is there. And I truly believe that love can heal. Love is miraculous. But saying things like that, like you have 3 weeks, that's deadly.
Everyone is different.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for your loss, Esther.
Thank you.
This is a beautiful project that you are doing.
Thank you. Yes, I am really excited about that.
What message would you like to leave to our listeners today?
I would just like to inspire people and just tell them to never give up, always have hope, and everything is going to be okay. You know, no matter what you think, somehow it's going to be okay. And it may not look like it, and you may not feel like it, but I'm telling you today, it's going to be okay. And just listen to me and listen to my voice and hear me and try to believe me. But everything is going to be okay. We're going to get through this. The war is going to be over soon. COVID is almost over. Everything is going to be just wonderful. It's a miracle coming soon. And I want people to believe it because it's true. And that's what I want to say.
I'm crying now. Beautiful advice and words. And Esther, please let us know, where can we find you online? Where can we find you?
I'm on Facebook, Esther Treblanche.
Do you have Instagram?
Esther Treblanche on Instagram, yes.
Wonderful. And Esther, I just want to say thank you so, so much for your time, your kindness, your love.
Really, thank you so much. You're such a beautiful soul and person. And I think what you're doing is amazing. And God bless you. And thank you so much. I really appreciate this today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when the next one is posted. Please rate this podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you for listening, and remember, relationships don't exist. Relating does. Until next time.